Welcome to this podcast for Classical 91.5. I'm Julia Figueres. Your Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra has just unveiled its new season. There's something for every taste, filled with old friends, new faces, and of course, Beethoven. As Ward Stair enters his final season as RPO music director, he joins me for an overview of things to come. Welcome back to the studios, Ward.
Great to be here as always. Thank you.
We're gearing up for your last season as music director. How do you like the season as it's shaped? Are you feeling solid?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of wonderful pieces. Of course, we're highlighting Beethoven, which, you know, he was my first love as a composer, so it's wonderful to have his music featured so prominently in this season. And you're going to hear a lot of new things as well, which has been, you know, one of my goals throughout my tenure here, to present new works. And so I think it's a nice mix.
There are some changes. The Sunday matinees have moved.
They have, yeah. They're going to be at Nazareth now, which is a really nice space for us, and we've enjoyed the concerts that we've had there in the past, and we're looking forward to that relationship and to its continued growth.
And, of course, the musical elephant in the room is, as you mentioned, Beethoven 250. There were many, many ways that you could have gone about doing this, and you decided to program all nine symphonies plus the violin concerto. Lots of options. Why did you choose this way to go about to celebrate the 250?
Well, I think many orchestras that have larger philharmonics or, you know, main subscription series, whatever they call them, and their particular, you know, orchestras, they have a lot more room to, you know, do cycles, do seasons where they'll say, you know, do all the Brahms symphonies or all the Beethoven symphonies or even all the Mahler symphonies, although that's a little bit more of an undertaking. But we here with only 14 fills, we can't really ever do that completely. So I thought it would be nice to actually have every single Beethoven symphony on the same season for once, because it really hasn't happened in Rochester just because of the size of our season.
So you opted not to do them in order.
Correct.
You are opening with
Beethoven 5.
What a surprise.
Which, yeah, one of mine, and I think a lot of other people's all-time favorites. And it's a great way to kick off a season where we feature Beethoven, but it also was an opportunity to pair the Fifth Symphony of Beethoven with the Fifth Symphony of Rouse. Christopher Rouse, of course, passed away, sadly, in this past year, but he has a great Rochester connection, as you know, and I've been a big fan of Rouse music for a number of years, and the Fifth Symphony that he wrote is meant to sort of complement Beethoven 5, so they kind of go together, and I'm excited about that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in someplace in the middle of it, there's a violin concerto with a new violinist that I have not heard of.
Benjamin Beilman. Yeah. It'll be my first time working with him as well, but I've known of his work for a little while now, and I've been excited to find an opportunity to collaborate with him. So this will be a great first meeting for us.
Interestingly enough, you also choose not to close the season with the ninth. You've kind of dropped it into the middle there.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not conducting it this time. I conducted it last time. It was difficult because I knew that because of the season being, you know, only a certain number of weeks, and, you know, with our guests and the various requirements of how we allocate the time, I knew that I couldn't do all the symphonies, so I really had an awful choice to make. But since I've already conducted the ninth here in Rochester a couple years ago, I thought, all right, I'll have to give that one away. I'll pick some symphonies that I haven't done yet with the RPO.
I was going to ask if you picked and you got to pick and choose the symphonies that you got to do, because I know you're not doing the seventh either.
Right. Well, because I've already done it. I opened the season with it a few seasons ago. And so, you know, and it's a piece, I've done all the Beethoven symphonies multiple times, you know, at this point in my career, of course, and I love them all. They all have, you know, very different personalities and characters, so it was kind of a difficult decision, but I'm happy with how it ended up, where the chips fell. The Sixth Symphony, which is the last one that I'm doing in the season, is unique in the Beethoven canon.
And it is beautifully paired.
Yes.
I think of all of the shows in the season, each of them. This is my favorite, believe it or not. I think it's the most interestingly balanced of all of them. If you'd like to, please hold forth about what you decided to do with the Pastoral Symphony.
Well, so do you know the Aho? Do you know the...
I do not know this piece.
Okay, well, it's an amazing piece. His music is very...
The composer is...
Aho is, yeah, his name. And he writes, it's a percussion concerto, and we're bringing back Colin Curry, who was here a couple seasons ago. A great guy. Loved working with him. I've been looking for an opportunity to bring him back ever since he was here last. And when I first heard this percussion concerto, I was just blown away. It's so powerful. It's so effective. And it really gives you a feel of Mother Earth and nature. And it's so... grounded in that way, and I just thought, what a perfect pairing with the Pastoral Symphony, which also is an homage to nature. And they're so on the page, it looks like it's diametrically opposed. I mean, a modern percussion concerto paired with Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, but actually, I think it'll be a perfect marriage.
I just felt that, you know, you get that big rousing percussion thing, and then you get to sit back and get swept away by nature.
Uh-huh.
Very internally, it worked really well for me.
Yeah.
You have both of the Barbers this year, almost back-to-back, the two Barber concertos, almost back-to-back, piano and then Juliana, who does such a great job with the Barber. She did a great job the last time, too. You seem to have... Ward, a deep affinity for Samuel Barber. Why does he speak to you so clearly?
I've always just been drawn to his music. I think it's a combination of old school craftsmanship and a sense of balance and beauty that he brings to his work, but with a modern twist. I mean, it doesn't sound old. But it does sound sentimental, like in an old-fashioned way sometimes, but then it's also very fresh. And Barber's musical language, I think, is just so... I put it right up there with Copland and Bernstein in the American sound, you know, air quotes. Mm-hmm. And his music, I think, more than anything, is just so lyrical. And, you know, I love the voice. I love opera. I love all things that are lyrical and that sing. And Barber's music, for me, just always really sings.
I mentioned that we have old friends returning, and two that I was very happy to see on the program. The first one, Jennifer Higdon, is back in town again. This time, what a fascinating concerto this is.
The low brass concerto, yes. Well, you know, when we were doing the harp concerto, I think the second time around, so after we had given the world premiere, or I may be off with my timing, but it doesn't matter. Either the first or second time, when we met and we were working on the harp concerto, she said, oh, by the way, I've just written this low brass concerto. And she knew, you know, that I'm a recovering trombonist. And so she gave me the recording of the world premiere performance, I think, which it was either in Philadelphia or Chicago. I can't remember. Both orchestras did it that first year. And of course, I know all the guys in those sections as well. So it was kind of cool. And I said, oh, this is great. I'm going to listen to it. And then I gave it, I said, can I give this to our low brass section to check out? And she said, of course. So I sent it to them and I said, what do you think about me programming this? Would you be up for it? And of course they loved the idea. But then I had to figure out how to program it, because if you're going to feature your low brass section as soloists, all of them, you're going to lose them for the rest of the concert. And so that presents something of a challenge. And so I tried to fit it on this season, but I couldn't find a program where I could make it work. And then when we were thinking about Beethoven, and of course the trombones only play in a couple of the symphonies, I thought, okay, this could work. And then I thought, all right, what else? You know, I love Strauss, so Metamorphosen is linked with Beethoven 3. So, hey, how about this? How about we do Metamorphosen, which is only the strings, then we'll feature the low brass in a concerto, then we'll have intermission, and then Beethoven Eroica Symphony, which does not involve low brass. It's perfect.
And which you didn't get to conduct the last time, so...
That's right.
You get it back again.
That's right.
And Stephen Hupp is back.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. He's always a real blast to work with.
It's also nice to see on the program the Cornquill Violin Concerto. This is so important for such a long time, and then it just vanished. And the RPO seems to have wrapped its arms around this piece.
Yeah, we've done it fairly often for us in our history. But it's a great piece. I love Corn Gold. That's not one of my programs, of course, but I'm really glad that it's on this season.
So, you know, when you and I were talking about the season coming up, and this was just off the record about 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, and I jokingly said to you, well, it's your last year. What are you going to do, Symphony of a Thousand? I guess the answer is yes.
Little did you know. That's right. Mahler 8. Mahler 8. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a really great event. I'm hoping that we can make it into a real community affair, because the number 1,000 comes from the enormous chorus that Mahler calls for. And I would like to see us bring in people from all over the community to sing in the chorus. I don't know how that's going to work logistically yet, because everyone has to learn the part, and we have to have some way to coordinate all those different rehearsals and bring everyone together. But if we can do it, I think it would be a great way for everyone to come together and participate in this epic work toward the end of next season.
Your sign-off. You've always done an opera. It is your signature, and your signature, the last opera and your last thing is Tosca. Mm-hmm. So, why did you choose Tosca to put the crown on it?
Well, you know, there's so many operas that we could have done, and we did throw around a number of different ideas, and you know, when it came down to it, Tosca just made a lot of sense. I mean, it's an iconic work. It's one that I think audiences will really love. It gives us the opportunity to feature some dynamite singers, and you know, it's just ends in a lot of drama.
So as you look at this season from top to bottom, what's your final takeaway for all of us?
Oh boy, takeaway for all of you. Like, what are you supposed to...
What do you want us to walk away with?
What do I want you to walk away with from this... from this season? Boy, that's a good question. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about Beethoven, because that's an obvious cop-out, even though, you know, we'll all enjoy listening to all the Beethoven symphonies. I don't know.
The violin concerto.
And the violin concerto, that's right. I don't know, top to bottom, I mean, again, I think we've put together a program that has a tremendously diverse group of composers and works in musical languages, and I think it highlights the amazing cultural and artistic landscape that we have here in Rochester. And you know, you couldn't do seasons like this in a lot of cities, and I've been saying that ever since I arrived back as music director, and I think it's a tribute to the community and to the support that we have, to our the sophistication of our audiences, and of course to the skill of our musicians.
Well, Ward, congratulations on your new season. And I look forward to sitting down with you to do our podcasts during next season as well as this. So thanks a lot and congratulations.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Ward Steer has been our guest today. And if you like some information about the new Rochester Philharmonic season, you can go to rpo.org. I'm Julia Figueres. This podcast is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.